Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 14th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rise on optimism over a coronavirus treatment and a flurry of deals.
Oracle appears to beat out Microsoft for TikTok's U.S. operations.
And NVIDIA makes the biggest purchase ever in the semiconductor industry.
New York State's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Wildfires continue to burn in the West and another Gulf Coast tropical storm. I'm Michael Ball. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won, the Mets, Jets, and Islanders lost, and Dominic Thiem won a classic U.S. Open final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Take the bond challenge by using the free IBKR bond search tool to compare available yields against those of your broker. Learn more at ibkr.com/bonds.
And U.S. futures are surging to start the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 33 points this morning. Dow futures up 217. NASDAQ futures up 135. The DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent now. The CAC in Paris is up a tenth of a percent. And the FTSE 100 down a quarter percent. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd yield, 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 32 cents at $37.01 a barrel. COMEX gold up a tenth of a percent or $2 at $19.49.80 an ounce. Nathan.
Well, Karen, U.S. futures are still holding their own. It comes as optimism grows over a coronavirus vaccine, and we get the very latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, one of the companies racing to develop a vaccine is putting out an ambitious timetable.
In our base case, we have quite a good chance, more than 60%, that we will know if the product works or not by the end of October.
Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla tells Face the Nation on CBS they've almost finished testing 30,000 people for phase 3 trials of the shot that they're developing with BioNTech. Now he says they're focused on recruiting more vulnerable patients.
We will go to people with special conditions, chronic conditions, like HIV patients. But also, we will try to use it to increase the diversity of the population.
Bourla doesn't know whether the Food and Drug Administration will approve Pfizer's shot by next month. Even if it does, former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb says frontline workers will probably get it first.
This is likely to be a very staged market entry. I think that's what people should expect. But for most people, they will not have access to a vaccine until 2021. I think maybe the first quarter of 2021, probably the first half of 2021.
Gottlieb was also on Face the Nation, heard on Bloomberg Radio. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And that's not the only encouraging vaccine news this morning. The University of Oxford and AstraZeneca have restarted their trial of an experimental COVID-19 shot. It was halted last week over concerns about a participant who fell ill. UK officials recommended the study resume after an independent review of the safety data.
Well, plenty of M&A news to talk about this Monday morning. We start with a surprise victor in the battle for the U.S. operations of TikTok. As Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner reports, Oracle appears to be the winner.
We're told the terms being discussed with Oracle are still evolving. One possibility is Oracle taking a stake of a newly formed U.S. business while serving as TikTok's U.S. technology partner and housing TikTok's data in Oracle's cloud servers. Now, it's unclear whether the White House would approve. Various factions in the Trump administration have been pushing for a complete shutdown or an outright sale of TikTok to an American company. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Doug, shares of Oracle right now are up more than 8%, while Microsoft is down 0.5% in early trading.
And we also have the biggest deal ever in the semiconductor industry today. NVIDIA has agreed to buy ARM, SoftBank's chip division, for $40 billion. The move provides Masayoshi Son's company with another boost in liquidity. We get more from Bloomberg's Pavel Alpiev.
It's certainly a happy end for Son to be able to get out of it with a premium. It would create a bit of a cognitive dissonance considering the extent to which he painted ARM as a centerpiece of his sort of AI investment strategy. But markets certainly love it when Son sells stuff.
And the deal gives NVIDIA some of the most widely used technology in electronics. Regulatory approval may take as long as 18 months since the deal needs sign-offs from the UK, China, the EU, and the US.
In the drug industry, Gilead has agreed to buy Immunomedics for about $21 billion. The New Jersey company makes a promising breast cancer therapy, and Immunomedics stock is up more than 100% this morning.
The chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are reportedly exploring a potential merger to create one of Europe's largest banks. Swiss media reports the project is driven by UBS chairman Axel Weber and could happen early next year. Spokesman for the two banks declined to comment.
Turning from corporate news to politics now, a showdown is looming in the British Parliament as Boris Johnson sends his bill seeking to change the Brexit withdrawal agreement to the House of Commons today. As Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff reports, the prime minister is facing increasing opposition from his own party.
Former prime ministers and EU leaders have attacked the plan. Now the former Attorney General Geoffrey Cox has joined a growing Conservative rebellion. Boris Johnson's plan would allow the UK to unilaterally override parts of the divorce treaty it signed with the EU. Now the prime minister has to see off a revolt from Tory MPs who are seeking to amend the bill in its initial stages when it's debated and voted on today. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sandra, thank you. In Asia, Japanese Chief Cabinet Secretary Yoshishide Suga has been elected a leader of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party by an overwhelming majority. Suga's appointment will bring to an end the record run of his ailing boss, Shinzo Abe, who has served since 2012.
And back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve meets on interest rates this week as health authorities warn the pandemic could worsen this winter. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell has said the central bank will at some point signal its willingness to let inflation exceed its 2% target to boost growth. Less than half the economists surveyed by Bloomberg see the Fed doing that this week, though they do see the Fed holding interest rates near zero. Data this week is expected to show gains in retail sales and industrial production and a pause in housing starts as the U.S. claws away from this year's economic collapse. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 is the time now on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Cuomo said yesterday that the state reported 725 new cases of coronavirus. Also starting today, riders will be fined $50 for not wearing a mask on MTA public transportation. New toll hikes begin in New Jersey. Tolls will rise on the New Jersey Turnpike by 36%. Tolls on the Garden State Parkway rise by 27%. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has declared a state of emergency in preparation for Tropical Storm Sally. It is expected to be a hurricane when it makes landfall along the Gulf Coast. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Sally continues to become better organized in the Gulf of Mexico, and it looks like it's going to be making landfall somewhere just east of the New Orleans area Tuesday evening. Could make landfall near past Christiane, Mississippi, which would be pretty close to where Katrina made landfall back in 2005 and Camille back in 69. The problem with the storm is it's over some very warm water, so there's the possibility that it may intensify quite a bit here over the next 24 hours, and that could lead to it going ashore with winds over 85 miles an hour. We're going to have to watch it carefully. I'm Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Thank you, sir. Dozens of people reported missing after a devastating blaze in southern Oregon have been accounted for. Crews are battling wildfires that have killed at least 35 from California to Washington State. Meanwhile, leaders from western states are taking on the climate change deniers. Over the weekend, President Trump insists it's about forest management, not climate change. On ABC's This Week, Governor Jay Inslee says it's time to stop calling climate change a hoax.
And for Donald Trump to say he's a hero of climate change is like saying he's a hero of masks against COVID. And this idea that somehow we could have solved this problem by timber thinning is just a bunch of malarkey.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. President Trump claimed he's delivered for Hispanic Americans more than any other president at an event with Latino supporters in Las Vegas. Trump also held a rally indoors in Henderson, Nevada.
I call them the Hispanics. I call them Latino, you know. I say, what do you prefer? It's very interesting. Some say, call us Latino. Others say, call us Hispanic. Others say, call us whatever the hell you want. We love you.
The U.S. Embassy says the ambassador to China, Terry Branstad, will retire. It comes after a deterioration of relations between the U.S. and China. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. There may have been no fans, may have been between two guys who both had never won a Grand Slam, but a memorable U.S. Open men's singles final, the first ever to end in a fifth-set tiebreaker. Dominic Thiem became the first since Pancho Gonzalez in 1949 to lose the first two sets, win the next three. He outlasted Alex Zverev. The match went over 4 hours. The Jets season did not begin well. Buffalo jumped in front 21-0 as Josh Allen threw for two touchdowns, ran for another. Jets did get a 69-yard TD. Sam Darnold and Jamison Crowder, they scored in the final minute, but the Bills beat the Jets 27-17. The Las Vegas Raiders, in a game with seven lead changes, won 34-30 at Carolina. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay lost at New Orleans. Cam Newton in New England beat Miami. Last night, the Rams beat the Cowboys 20-17. The Yankees didn't start Gleyber Torres, but used him as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning of a tie game.
Swung on and lined toward the alley in right center. It is a base hit. One hop off the right center field wall. Hicks scores. And rounding third, Frazier. The throw home is not in time. It is a two-run pinch hit double by Gleyber Torres. And the Yankees take a 3-1 lead.
And at the final over the Orioles, WFAN the call. So since losing five straight games, the Yanks have won five in a row and have only allowed a total of five runs. The Mets lost to the Blue Jays 7-3. The Cubs' Alec Mills pitched a no-hitter in Milwaukee. The Islanders now face elimination. Tampa Bay won 4-1 for a 3-1 series lead. NBA playoffs, the Denver Nuggets still alive. They beat the Clippers. They'll play Game 7 tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures higher by 35 points right now. Dow futures up 221. NASDAQ futures a gain of 152 points or 1.4%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are gaining this morning amid a flurry of deal activity and signs of progress toward a virus vaccine. European shares are mixed as oil producers drop. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 35 points. Dow futures up 225. NASDAQ futures up 152 or 1.4%. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.66%. They yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 24 cents at $37.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%. Or $3.60 at $19.51.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1863 against the dollar. British pound 1.2865. And the yen's at 105.99. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Here in Northern California, officials say two more people have been confirmed dead from wildfires burning in the state. That brings the state's total wildfire death toll to 24 this year. The Gulf Coast is now preparing for Tropical Storm Sally. It's expected to strengthen into a hurricane by the time it makes landfall later this week. In week one of the NFL, the Jets lost to the Bills. The Patriots in Washington won. The 49ers lost. The Giants faced the Steelers tonight. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 3-1. The Mets lost along with the Nationals. The Red Sox won. The A's lost to the Rangers 6-3. The Giants lost a doubleheader. In the NHL East Finals, the Islanders lost. In tennis, Dominic Thiem won the men's U.S. Open title. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Pfizer Chief Executive Officer Albert Bourla says it's likely the U.S. will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year-end. Joining us now for more is Sam Fazzelli, who leads our pharma coverage for Bloomberg Intelligence. Sam, thanks for being with us. What data does Bourla have that gives him the confidence to make a declaration like that?
Yeah, hi, John. So I think probably what's going on is that the company is aware of the infection rates within their trial up to now, and therefore making estimations as to when they may be able to hit sufficient infections within the trial to decipher a difference between placebo and vaccinated patients, subjects. Now, the problem with that is, and as the company says in its press release, which it recently highlighted, we're raising the number of enrollees in the trials, is that that's all entirely driven by infection rates going forward now. So, you know, our calculations suggest that if everything goes well and nothing changes, and the infection rates are about the same as was the case up to the 6th of September, which is when we looked at them, it's possible that they'll get the last patient or subject having had the 7 days post the second dose, complicated numbers here. It's possible. But I think you have to assume that for full data, you're going to have to wait a bit longer than the end of October.
What can we infer from the fact they're expanding the trial to a larger group?
Yeah, so the commentary has three reasons listed. They want to have individuals infected with other viruses, such as hepatitis C, HIV. They want to have slightly younger folk involved, down to 16 as opposed to 18 years old. And crucially, it says, this will also give us more efficacy and safety data. The balance between those three elements is unclear to me, and I am convinced that there is a significant input into that decision that's to do with the rate of infections that they've been seeing.
When we say vaccine, Sam, pardon this question, what are we talking about? I get a shot and I won't get coronavirus, or is it something less than that?
And John, you don't have to be pardoned at all. That is such a crucial question. At the end of the day, you have such a spectrum of what a vaccine can give us. The expectation is not that a vaccine will be delivered that is sterilizing, so-called, i.e. a vaccine that completely annihilates the infection so that you don't even get infected. That is not the current expectation. That would be the absolute best-case scenario. The hope is that you get a vaccine that reduces our symptoms, even the mild symptoms, hopefully. But I would happily take a shot if it said to me that I'll reduce your risk of going to hospital or getting severe disease by 50-60%.
Do we know at this point if we get a vaccine like that, that we'd have to get a booster or something like the flu shot we get every year?
Yeah, again, we don't know. Yeah. And I would suggest that we should all assume that this is going to be an annual event. If it's less than an annual event, i.e. more like 6 months, then that's bad news. But it can be better. It all depends. That we won't know until the trial's passed another 6 months or 9 months. It will take a while to figure that out.
Setting timelines for vaccines, that's problematic, isn't it?
Absolutely, because just like any clinical trial, you don't know how many infections you're going to get. You don't know how many of them are going to be asymptomatic anyway. Remember, you're trying to reduce symptoms. So if you get 50% of your enrollees without symptoms because they're all young, then you've reduced the power of being able to detect the difference, which is why I think they're increasing the numbers also.
Hey, who's in the lead? I mean, AstraZeneca, they restarted the testing after we talked about this last week. It was halted last week. What? Give us the overview for all these companies.
About
a minute left.
So AstraZeneca only restarted its UK trial. We still haven't heard that other trials are going to be allowed to restart. To me, when I look at the numbers, in terms of who might report first, and we're talking a month or two here or there, right? It looks like it would be Pfizer-BioNTech.
Okay. Sam, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Sam Fazeli leading our pharma coverage for Bloomberg Intelligence. Again, over the weekend, Pfizer Chief Executive Officer Albert Bourla on CBS's Face the Nation, which you can hear right here on Bloomberg Radio, said it's likely that the U.S. will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year-end. But as Sam just told us, there's still some doubt as to whether or not that timeline is actually efficacious. Ahead of the open on Wall Street, ahead of the cash open right now, futures in the green, the Dow futures up 203 points. S&P futures, they're 32 points higher. And right now, the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 136 points. That's a rise of 1.2%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, John. It is 6:25 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing stocks rise to begin the trading week as optimism over a coronavirus vaccine boosts sentiment. We get details from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla says it's likely the U.S. will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year end.
In our base case, we have quite a good chance, more than 60%. But we will know if the product works or not by the end of October.
Bourla on Face the Nation from CBS, heard on Bloomberg Radio, says he's quite comfortable the vaccine developed with BioNTech is safe and could be available before year's end. The companies hope to include 44,000 patients this week for a clinical trial. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And there's some more optimism this morning on the vaccine front. The University of Oxford and AstraZeneca have resumed their UK trial of their shot. It was halted last week over concerns about a participant who fell ill.
A flurry of deals are also boosting equities this morning. Bloomberg News has learned that Oracle has beat out Microsoft in the battle for TikTok. As Bloomberg senior editor Derek Wallbank reports, TikTok owner ByteDance favors a tie-up that looks more like a restructuring than an outright sale.
We're seeing some language being used that's somewhat unique. Oracle is apparently a trusted technology partner in the U.S., and that is going to convey something very specific. But it hasn't been outlined exactly what that is, so suggesting that it's a little less than as straightforward as a deal, no deal might be.
And Oracle shares are up 7% this morning, while Microsoft is down about 0.2%.
In Tokyo, shares of SoftBank surged 9%. That company reached a deal to sell its chip division Arm to NVIDIA for $40 billion. NVIDIA shares right now are up almost 6.5%.
Shares of New Jersey-based Immunomedics have more than doubled in pre-market trading. It's being acquired by Gilead Sciences for about $21 billion. Immunomedics makes a promising breast cancer therapy.
And the chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are reportedly exploring a potential merger that would create one of Europe's largest banks. Swiss media report the project is driven by UBS chairman Axel Weber and could happen early next year. Spokesman for the two banks declined to comment.
And S&P futures are higher, up 34 points. Dow futures up 214. NASDAQ futures up 143. Well, the DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year treasury up 1/32nd yield, 0.66%. And the yield on the two-year is at 0.12%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer and get special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Now here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state's COVID infection rate remains below 1% for 37 straight days. Cuomo said yesterday that the state reported 725 new cases of coronavirus. He says, though, as we head into the fall and flu season, we need everyone to continue to wear masks, socially distance, and wash their hands. Also starting today, riders will be fined $50 for not wearing a mask on MTA public transportation. Storm-weary Gulf Coast residents are preparing for a new weather onslaught as Tropical Storm Sally churns northward. Forecasters from the National Hurricane Center in Miami said Sally is expected to become a hurricane today and reach shore by early tomorrow. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has declared a state of emergency in preparation for Sally. The slow-moving storm is expected to dump as much as 15 to 20 inches of rain on some parts of Mississippi.
Obviously, that is going to lead to significant rising water levels and the potential for significant need for search and rescue.
A Northern California sheriff says that two more people have been confirmed dead from wildfires burning in the state. At least 35 people have died from fires in California, Oregon, and Washington State. As the wildfires continue to burn up and down the West Coast, President Trump plans to visit California today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
And the president over the weekend doubled down on his argument that bad forest management is to blame for the devastation. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has joined with Governor Gavin Newsom in insisting it is climate change.
Talk to a firefighter if you think that climate change isn't real. And it seems like this administration are the last vestiges of the Flat Earth Society of this generation.
And says the state needs real federal action. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump will also speak in Arizona today. Last night, the president held a rally in an indoor venue in Henderson, Nevada. He talked about the two Los Angeles sheriff's deputies who were shot sitting in their patrol cars Saturday night.
Our thoughts are with the two sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles who were fighting for their lives when a vicious criminal walked up to their vehicle and shot them at point-blank range.
A new CBS poll shows Democratic nominee Joe Biden leads President Trump by 9 percentage points in Minnesota and by 3 points in Arizona among likely voters. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's just about 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Three times Dominic Thiem lost a Grand Slam final, including earlier this year in Australia. Was looking like it was going to happen again. Thiem dropped the first two sets to Alex Zverev, became the first in 71 years to win the U.S. Open men's singles final. After losing the first two sets, he won the fifth, 7-6, 8-6 in the tiebreaker. Sensational match to end the U.S. Open. No-hitter in baseball, the Cubs' Alec Mills in Milwaukee, just his 15th big league start. Fifth straight win for the Yankees, beat the Orioles 3-1 on Gleyber Torres' pinch-hit two-run double in the eighth inning. The Mets and Jets, both in Buffalo, both lost. Mets fell to the Blue Jays 7-3. Toronto scored five times in the sixth inning. The Jets dropped their season opener to the Bills 27-17. Josh Allen, drafted behind Sam Darnold, outplayed him 33 of 46, career-high 312 yards, threw for two touchdowns, ran for another all in the first half. The Bills had over 400 yards of offense, twice the amount of first downs. There were three week one upsets. Arizona came from behind to win at San Francisco 24-20. Jacksonville took its first lead with 6 minutes left, beat Indianapolis 27-20. That was the only game of the day where there were some fans allowed in. And the Washington football team, down 17-0, had eight sacks, scored the last 27, and stunned Philadelphia. The game last night was in L.A., first of the new stadium. Rams beat the Cowboys 20-17. It's been a great playoff run for the Islanders, longest in 27 years, but they'll face elimination tomorrow. They lost to Tampa Bay 4-1. And the Lightning lead the series 3-1. Denver stayed alive again, beat the Clippers. They'll have Game 7 tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
It's been a bad year to be a tourist magnet. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Like a lot of countries in East and Southeast Asia, Thailand has done a great job of controlling the coronavirus pandemic. There have been just 3,461 confirmed cases of the disease and 58 deaths in a country of nearly 70 million inhabitants. This hasn't spared Thailand from a sharp economic downturn, though. Its economy depends on tourists from abroad who haven't been coming. In a recent analysis of the COVID-19 tourism bust's impact on 52 countries, the International Monetary Fund concluded that Thailand will be hit the hardest. Several southern European countries are also high on the list. Meanwhile, some northern European countries that usually send hordes of tourists abroad but aren't this year may even experience a slight economic boost from this turn of events. Pandemics just aren't fair. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's just about 6:39 on Wall Street, and U.S. futures do point to a strong open this Monday morning after a volatile week for U.S. stocks. We get more on the week ahead from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
After two losing weeks in a row for U.S. stocks, investor focus will be on central banks, easing coronavirus lockdowns, and questions about lofty technology valuations. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets in London.
So I would liken this decline in tech stocks to the equivalent of blowing the froth off a very hot latte. Basically means that we've seen a little bit of profit taken and a little bit of heat taken out of the overall rally.
Among the companies scheduled to report earnings this week, Lennar, Adobe, and FedEx. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And in fact, Charlie, we get those earnings from home builder Lennar today. Let's get a preview of that from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Orders for Lennar's fiscal third quarter are forecast to show a 6% decline versus a year ago. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are expecting a profit of $1.57 a share on revenue of about $5.5 billion. Industry data has suggested that the housing market bottomed in April amid the pandemic and has improved sequentially since, a trend that was reflected in Lennar's previous earnings report as well. Wall Street remains bullish on Lennar, with its shares up more than 37% so far this year. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. And the owner of New York Sports Club has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Last week, we told you a filing was imminent after Town Sports International failed to reach a financing agreement with Kennedy Lewis Investment Management. Of course, the gym business has been battered by the pandemic. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this crossing the Bloomberg, Merck to pay Seattle Genetics up to $4.5 billion in a cancer deal that'll take a $1 billion stake in Seattle Genetics as the drug makers reached a deal to help develop and commercialize two of the biotech companies' cancer drugs. U.S. stock index futures are gaining this morning amid a flurry of deal activity and signs of progress toward a virus vaccine. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 37 points. Dow futures up 237 and Nasdaq futures up 169. That's up about 1.5%. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Tropical Storm Sally continues its path to the Gulf Coast. It's expected to strengthen to a hurricane before it makes landfall later this week. Senator Bernie Sanders said Joe Biden needs to talk more about his plans to revive the U.S. economy, including a higher minimum wage. Meanwhile, President Trump will speak today in Arizona and California. Week one of the NFL, the Jets lost, the Patriots and Washington won, the 49ers lost, Giants face the Steelers tonight. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles, the Mets lost along with the Nationals, the Red Sox won, the A's lost to the Rangers, the Giants lost a doubleheader. In the NHL East Finals, the Islanders lost. In tennis, Dominic Thiem won the men's U.S. Open. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you for that, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street. Now time to check what's going on in D.C., where the Trump campaign continues to defend the president's handling of the coronavirus after the president told journalist Bob Woodward he deliberately downplayed the threat to avoid a panic. Trump campaign senior advisor Steve Cortez tells Fox News Sunday that showed exemplary leadership.
The president's job in a time of crisis is partly to be reassuring to the American people, to convince them that we can and will persevere through this epidemiological Pearl Harbor.
And the campaign notes President Trump restricted entry from China early in the pandemic, a move Democrats criticized at the time. Biden senior campaign advisor Simone Sanders tells ABC's This Week.
In January and February, Joe Biden was not being briefed by national security experts who warned him how deadly the virus was. In January January and February, Joe Biden did not have the knowledge that President Trump did.
Meantime, Bernie Sanders is urging Biden to reach out to Latino voters and talk more about his plans for reviving the economy. Trump campaign spokesman Jason Miller says the president's weekend rallies in Nevada show how enthusiastic his supporters are and why Sanders is so worried.
Over 20% of the people who are at that event didn't even vote in 2016. That's why our internal numbers show us actually winning Nevada, feel very well positioned. It's another blue state we're going to flip this year.
Miller was also on This Week. At one rally, the president once again claimed Democrats are trying to rig the election through mail-in voting. Former Deputy Director of National Intelligence Sue Gordon tells CBS's Face the Nation the election infrastructure is as protected as it's ever been.
That message that you can't trust our system, that you can't trust the vote, that you can't trust the other party, that you can't trust is exactly what the Russians particularly hope to achieve.
Face the Nation This Week and Fox News Sunday can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio, giving us plenty of topics to talk about this morning with Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Let's start, Greg, with the Woodward revelations. Obviously, they continue to resonate inside Washington. What's the impact outside?
Well, good morning, Nathan. I'm not sure it's that much. I think that the Trump supporters are going to love Trump no matter what. The Trump haters are going to hate Trump no matter what. You know, maybe it moves the needle a little bit, but I don't think it's going to have a huge impact.
Although we do see the president's response to the pandemic playing out in certain aspects by the way he holds his rallies, packing them in Nevada over the weekend, not many masks on display. Does that put more attention on the issue for him?
Yeah, it's pretty audacious. I mean, if he says in private this is a horrible, horrible virus, far worse than the flu, and then he packs people in, I mean, that certainly looks hypocritical on his part. But, you know, his supporters love him no matter what, and they will stand in line next to people. They will risk getting this because they are so passionate about him.
Yeah, we do certainly see a enthusiasm gap. I think it's safe to term it that way between the Trump campaign and the Biden campaign. What did you make of the Bernie Sanders comments over the weekend that Biden needs to focus more on the economy and reaching out to Latino voters?
I think it's a really big deal. You look at these two enormously important groups, Hispanic voters who are not supporting Trump, Biden as much as they did Hillary Clinton in Florida, and then you look at young progressives who are lukewarm. And what Bernie said was a reflection of what people are whispering within the party, that the Biden campaign is lackluster. They're not reaching out to the right groups. And, you know, for a lot of Democrats, this is starting to look like deja vu. Could this be 2016 all over again?
Is there much of a swing vote in this election, though?
No, I think that's a good point, Nathan. I think that right now, probably only 12 or 13% of the population hasn't made up their mind, and the swing vote may not be all that big. But if you look at a key state like Florida, where I thought until a week or two ago that Biden had a chance to win, now it's looking less likely. I know Michael Bloomberg is going to throw $100 million in, and I know senior citizens are concerned about Trump's handling of the virus. But if you can't win the Latin vote in Florida, that's a big problem.
Michael Bloomberg, of course, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, parent company of this radio station. In the 30 seconds we have left here, Greg, Congress is fully back this week. Does stimulus happen?
Unlikely. They may give it one last try. There's so much anecdotal evidence of small businesses not doing well, people facing evictions. The Fed this week is going to talk about the need to spend more. I think at some point Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have to take half a loaf. They're not going to get a full loaf, but half a loaf I think is necessary.
Got to leave it there for now. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Thanks for this. And you can read more of what's happening in the nation's capital at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. About an hour north of Little Rock, Arkansas, Travis Byrd started his small business 4 years ago. Even he can't believe how quickly the business grew. Travis is owner of Arkansas Elite Welding Academy. He teaches welding. Travis, or T-Bird, as most people call him, joins us now. Let's start with the pandemic. How did it impact your small business?
First thing that happened, we had to shut down for 6 weeks. Thankfully, SBA stepped in and had a lot of programs to help us out. Not one single employee missed a check. Didn't have to lay anybody off. Once we got with CDC on the guidelines and put some things into play, we were able to reopen and still able to operate under those guidelines.
Now, students at a lot of schools across the United States are doing this virtually, learning virtually. It doesn't sound like you can learn welding virtually.
No, that makes about as much sense as trying to watch YouTube and learn in your garage. It's a hands-on technique.
Now, the federal assistance has tided you over. Are you back up and running with the doors open and students in class?
Yes, we are. We are up. The only thing that's hindering us now is our start dates. We've capped at it starting 10 at a time just because of the CDC guidelines. But other than that, I've been pretty blessed.
Now, how many students would you normally have at one time?
We have 66 booths, but we don't top out. We save some for our brush-ups, our alumni returning to practice up for before they go take a weld test. But it hasn't affected us too terribly bad just due to the fact that SBA stepped in and had all those programs to help us out.
T-Bird, thanks, owner, CEO of Arkansas Elite Welding Academy. Thanks and best of luck. We're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report. By the way, Karen, if you're thinking of a career change, T-Bird says he wouldn't get out of bed being a welder for less than $4,000 a week.
Oh, well. Duly noted. I don't know if you're sending me a message, but thanks, John. Okay, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. You may be able to detect the latest coronavirus hotspot by looking at search trends on Google. Researchers at Mass General Hospital found internet searches on gastrointestinal symptoms predicted a rise in COVID-19 cases weeks later. Using Alphabet's Google Trends online tool, they found the volume of searches correlated most strongly with cases in New York, New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, and Illinois, states with high disease burden 3 to 4 weeks later. Bloomberg News has learned Alibaba is in talks to invest $3 billion into Southeast Asian ride-hailing giant Grab Holdings. China's largest corporation has previously had limited forays in ride-hailing, but a potential tie-up with Grab gives it access to data on millions of users in 8 countries, a growing delivery fleet, plus a stake in digital wallet and financial services. And Amazon says it'll be hiring another 100,000 people to keep up with a surge of online orders. The company said the new hires will help pack, ship, or sort orders, working in part-time and full-time roles. The company already had to hire 175,000 people earlier this year to keep up with the rush of orders, and last week said it had 33,000 corporate and tech jobs it needed to fill. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And futures this morning on the rise. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.